Radio Prague News. The Green Party has said it is prepared to vote against a Czech-American agreement on the deployment of a US radar base on Czech territory. The Social Democratic Party is taking steps to expel rebel deputy Miloš Milčák from party ranks. And Czech ski jumper Jan Mazoch, who suffered a life-threatening injury at a World Cup event in Poland last weekend, continues to make progress. The Green Party has said it is prepared to vote against a Czech-American agreement on the deployment of a US radar base on Czech territory. Andrej Liška, head of the party's deputies group in the lower house, told Saturday's edition of Bravo that his party would not support a bilateral defense agreement between the US and the Czech Republic. If the radar base were part of a multilateral defense strategy, it should still be approved by national referendum, Liška said. The Communist Party has also strongly rejected the idea of hosting a US radar base on Czech territory. The main opposition party of Social Democrats has not yet voiced an official stand. If it were to oppose the agreement, then the opponents of the US radar base in the lower house would outnumber its supporters. The Social Democratic Party is taking steps to expel rebel deputy Miloš Milčák from party ranks. Mr. Milčák is one of the two deputies who helped the centre-right government win a confidence vote in the lower house a week ago. The other deputy, Michal Pohanka, has already left the ranks of the Social Democratic Party. Mr. Milčák refuses to do so, insisting that he is a social democrat at heart and only supported the centre-right government in order to end the country's drawn-out political crisis. Mr. Milčák has strongly rejected suggestions that he accepted a bribe in return for supporting the new cabinet. Czech ski jumper Jan Mazoch, who suffered a life-threatening injury at a World Cup event in Poland last weekend, continues to make progress. A spokeswoman for the Krakow University Hospital, where he is receiving treatment, said doctors saw a clear improvement in his state of health. Mazoch is said to be reacting to speech and touch and is in verbal contact with his doctors. Doctors brought Mazoch out of an artificial coma on Thursday on the advice of specialists, after the swelling in his brain had reduced. They say that if his health continues to improve at this pace, he could be transferred to the Czech Republic sometime next week. And finally, a quick look at the weather forecast. The next few days are expected to bring overcast skies and more snow showers, with day temperatures hovering at around 0 degrees. I'm Daniela Lazarová, and that's the end of the news.
Thanks for tuning in to Radio Prague. Coming up next, our weekly magazine, Inside Central Europe. Don't forget that on some of our times and frequencies over the weekend, you can also hear our regular Saturday program. For details of precise times and frequencies, send for a brochure at Radio Prague, English section 1099 Prague 2, the Czech Republic, or visit our website at www.radio.cz/English.
Hello, this is Insight Central Europe, and I'm Kerry Skyring. This is a program with stories from Poland, Hungary, Slovakia, Slovenia, and the Czech Republic. This week, the new government in the Czech Republic. It survived the vote of no confidence, but can it survive some scandals? Hungarians are asking, what is this German waste in our backyard? And Slovenes are heaping praise on foreigners. These stories and more in this Insight Central Europe. But first, here's Ian Willoughby with the news.
Poland says it plans to coordinate with the Czech Republic over proposals by the United States to build part of its global missile defense program in the two countries. Polish President Lech Kaczyński said Warsaw would likely cooperate with Prague and coordinate action on the matter. Washington has requested formal talks with the two countries on building a radar base in the Czech Republic and a missile interceptor base in Poland. The latter's defence minister, Radosław Sikorski, told Polish television that safeguarding Poland's security would be the most important factor in the government's decision on whether to allow the rockets to be placed on Polish soil. The new European Union members in Central and Eastern Europe enjoyed strong economic growth last year, according to a new report from the World Bank. The bank looked at 8 countries which joined the EU in 2007, including Poland, the Czech Republic, Hungary, Slovakia and Slovenia. It said economic growth was fueled by strong domestic demand, consumption and private investment. But it also predicted a slowdown this year and warned of a tendency towards higher inflation. The Roman Catholic Church in the Czech Republic is calling on the media not to pass judgment on priests who may have collaborated with the former communist secret police. The Czech Bishops' Conference issued a statement on Friday saying clergy were sometimes forced into collaboration. It's estimated at least 150 Czech Catholic priests collaborated with the secret police under the former totalitarian regime. Warsaw's Archbishop Stanisław Wiłgus resigned earlier this month over disclosures he spied for the former Polish regime. Slovakia says it will sue the European Commission over its demand for a 25% cut in the country's carbon dioxide emission. Last week, Prime Minister Robert Fico said the Ministry of Justice has been ordered to start legal proceedings because such a big cut in emissions would damage the national economy. Germany said it may also take legal action. The European Commission is demanding that 10 states change their carbon dioxide emissions for the 2008 to 2011 period. High school students in Hungary will soon be required to learn English as part of a planned education reform. The daily newspaper Magyar Hilap reports that a package of reforms will see compulsory English classes from 2010. It's currently mandatory for Hungarian students to study a foreign language, but they can choose languages other than English. The government is also planning to spend 150 billion forints on developing schools' infrastructure. Central Europe's biggest biodiesel plant is to be built at Lendava in northeast Slovenia. The Slovenia refinery Nafta Lendava and the Austrian company CMB Maschinenbau say the plant will open at the beginning of 2008. It will produce around 60,000 tons of biodiesel annually. Imported rapeseed and plant oils will provide the raw materials for the diesel, but local media reports say this will gradually be replaced by local production.
Thanks, Ian. It hasn't taken long for the Czech Republic's new government to run into some trouble. Prime Minister Topolánek's centre-right ruling coalition, made up of the Civic Democrats, the Christian Democrats and the Green Party, won a vote of no confidence in the lower house of parliament a week ago. But already two of its ministers are making unwelcome headlines. Dieter Asiedu reports on the new government and its problems.
100 kolegyň a poslanců bylo pro, jeden se zdržel a 97 bylo proti.
Děkuji.
It was an upbeat moment for the ruling coalition. Of the 198 deputies present, it got approval from 100. Its survival was secured by 2 rebel Social Democrat deputies who agreed to tolerate the government by absenting themselves from the Assembly Hall in order to end months of political paralysis. Prime Minister Mirek Topolánek says his government's mission is clear.
When we won't be able to push through our reform program, reform steps, we will try to call new election and to let people decide for the second time about political preferences in elections.
For Social Democrat leader Jiří Paroubek, the defection of 2 of his party's deputies was a bad blow.
I think that these 2 gentlemen created a new coalition party, the 4th coalition party, and it is not a problem of Social Democratic Party at this moment.
Now, you said earlier that many of the new ministers in the government are quite inexperienced. Could you name a few and tell us what you think would be their biggest challenges?
I think that the majority of the ministers of this government have managing experiences and experiences, for example, in the industry or in the leading functions. And it is not a great advantage of this government. It is a great problem for the Czech Republic.
Well, Mr. Paroubek's hopes have turned into reality. The new cabinet has barely had time to get to work, and already scandals surrounding two of its ministers are splashed across the front pages. On Wednesday, Culture Minister Helena Třeštíková handed in her resignation because of political pressure over the appointment of a deputy minister she did not want. Although the scandal around the culture minister's resignation will probably soon blow over, the case of Regional Development Minister Jiří Čunek looks far more serious. The police claim they have evidence that Mr. Čunek accepted a ½ a million crown bribe when he was still in regional politics 2 years ago. Unfortunately, Mr. Čunek himself has not been very convincing in explaining the origin of the money. He first told the media that it was family savings, but later changed his story for the police, saying he couldn't remember where the money came from. Political analyst Petr Jus says, in one way or another, the government will have to pay the price.
These first two problems definitely will weaken the government, and we have to take into account that the government is weak as itself, and any instability, any problem, any even small problem, will cause bigger instability and will lead to bigger instability. This is a situation that Mr. Paroubek and opposition generally welcomes, because the weaker government is, the stronger opposition is.
Although the Social Democrats have not ruled out some degree of cooperation, it is clear that the new government will have a hard time implementing its strong pro-reform policy program of tax changes, public spending cuts and health and pension reforms. This especially in view of the fact that the two rebel left-wing deputies have not pledged across-the-board support for the cabinet, but merely enabled its existence. For Inside Central Europe, this is Dita Asiedu in Prague.
Thanks, Dita. The internationally renowned Polish journalist and writer Ryszard Kapuściński died in a Warsaw hospital last week. He was 74. Probably Poland's best-known living author, his books have been translated into 30 languages, and they're probably best described as chronicles of parts of the world ravaged by war and conflict. Michał Kubicki of Polish Radio's External Service has this look at the life and work of Kapuściński.
Foreign travels took Kapuściński to many hotbeds of tension and scenes of upheavals. He witnessed 27 revolutions, mostly in Africa, where he was Poland's only foreign correspondent in the 1960s and 70s. Hampered by the constraints of newspaper articles, he soon turned to writing books. One of the best known of his 19 books, The Emperor, was an account of the downfall of Ethiopia's dictator Haile Selassie. For Polish readers, it brought to mind their own totalitarian leaders. The Shah of Shahs described the overthrow of the Shah of Iran. In most of his books, Kapuściński explored the structure of power in today's world.
The most important problem is that we are living in the world in which the fruits of progress and development are very unjustly divided, and that people, thanks to the television, to the media, the poor people, which are the majority, are feeling very strongly, very deeply this injustice, this situation to be marginalized. And that produced a very strong feelings of frustration, of unhappiness, eventually of hate and revenge.
Ryszard Kapuściński is often described as a man who elevated the art of reportage to literature. For sociologist and writer Jadwiga Staniszkis, his books are indeed first-rate literature.
He was excellent writer. He was able to prepare picture of very complicated events without being judged. He was not taking sides. He was not moralist in any way. He was trying to look into links he was trying to find solutions. He was able to write about deep structure of phenomena, not about not just about people.
Kapuściński was born in Pinsk, a small town now in Belarus, in 1932. It was overrun by Soviet soldiers when he was a boy, and he later spoke on many occasions about his experiences with totalitarianism. In Imperium, he chronicled the breakup of the Soviet Union. Yet, he didn't write a single book about Polish matters. Jadwiga Staniszkis explains.
I think that Kapuściński was planning eventually to write, you know, book on Poland, in a sense waiting to find sort of a key, because usually he was working by finding some concrete event that was at the same time sort of a symbolic moment, a breakthrough, a moment of threshold when new events were going in a different direction. And I think that he was looking for something like that in Poland. He was very enthusiastic of solidarity. I think that for him, it was not solidarity of, you know, intelligentsia. He was very conscious of this deep moral transition inside common people.
Ryszard Kapuściński's books were translated into 30 languages. He was said to have been among the candidates for last year's Nobel Prize for Literature. He died 2 months before his 75th birthday.
And now to Hungary, which is up in arms about German waste, tons of it, which has turned up at various sites around the country. Under EU law, this is harmful industrial waste that should not be exported, but dealt with in the country of origin. Hungarians are upset, and an investigation is underway. Questions are being asked about loopholes in the law and the need for stricter controls. Ági Varga of Radio Budapest spoke to Hungary's Environment Minister, Miklós Perzsányi.
Approximately 5,000 tons of waste material packaged in piles were disposed at approximately 20 different sites in Hungary. 4 persons of the Hungarian importers are under police arrest because they didn't have any license for waste management activities, and they still organize the transport of this quantity of waste to Hungary.
Now the question arises, how could such a huge amount of waste material come to Hungary? Are the Hungarian regulations not tight enough or loose?
I just mentioned that the regulations are okay, and there's no need for any urgent change in them. The problem is that we are living in a new situation where the state borders are not there practically, and even from the end of this year, when Hungary joins the Schengen system, the appearance of border will be even less visible than it is now. So this is one important fact. Another important fact that the waste management costs and the disposal of waste is much, much more cheaper in Eastern European countries, not only in Hungary, but in the other countries as well, than in several Western European countries. And although this kind of shipments are considered illegal and punished by law, still it seemed to be that the wish for gaining a huge profit, even the price of a serious environmental deterioration, makes it very attractive for some people.
Hungary's Environment Minister, Miklós Perzsányi, speaking to Ági Varga of Radio Budapest. And if you'd like to hear any of these stories again, go to our website. It's www.incentraleurope.com. You'll find text and audio of all these stories. Insight Central Europe is a co-production from Polish Radio External Service, Radio Prague, Radio Slovakia International, Radio Budapest, and Radio Slovenia International. And it was in the Slovenian border town of Nova Gorica last week that a group of people gathered for the 3rd annual Guest Star Awards. The ceremony honours foreigners in Slovenia, people who've come to the country and made a positive contribution to it. Michael Manska of Radio Slovenia International has the story. The third annual Guest Star Awards took place in one of Europe's largest casinos, the hit casino Perla in Nova Gorica. Altogether, 16 foreigners have been nominated in four categories: sports, diplomacy, economy, and culture. Candidates were suggested by the Slovenian public, then whittled down by a panel of judges. In the weeks preceding the event, upwards of 15,000 votes were tallied. In the end, a lot of old winners returned to win again. In the sports category, for example, the Jamaican-born runner Merlin Otti, who competes internationally for Slovenia, won the prize again after already taking home the honor in 2004. In the economy category, CEO of wireless operator C-Mobil, the Austrian-born Andreas Meyerhofer, won for the second straight year running.
Erstens war ich sehr überrascht, dass ich zum zweiten Mal...
I was very surprised to win again, he says. I was surprised to be nominated and also surprised to find myself among the final nominees again. For me, this prize means that C-Mobil is on the right path and that my work at the head of the company has been appreciated. Nabbing the top prize in culture was the director of the French Institute in Ljubljana, the Gabon-born Michel Obenga, who's been in Slovenia for 20 years now. And in the category of diplomacy, the Belgian ambassador to Slovenia, Jean-Louis Mignot, bit out stiff competition from popular diplomats from the UK, Austria, and Finland. He credited his victory to the fact that his reputation precedes him.
It seems that... I have a certain reputation which has, you know, but you're never sure about that. But it seems that is the reality because I realize that a number of people appreciate or heard about me because, after all, Slovenia is a small country, so the news goes quite fast. That I and my wife, we are quite engaged in having a policy of presence. This is not a policy in the sense that it's a kind of official. No, it's just de facto. We have been doing it before in other countries, and we just continue to do it in Slovenia, meeting people, hearing, listening to them, and going to see what they like or not don't like, theater, cinema, and other kinds of things like that.
For Slovenia's relatively small population of foreigners, the award ceremony was also a great chance to stand in the limelight and also meet other people who have decided to live here. This is Michael Mansky reporting for Insight Central Europe.
Thanks, Michael. The artist Andy Warhol has plenty of fans in Slovakia. His parents were migrants to the United States from Mikova in Slovakia. Outside of Slovakia, few are aware of his family roots. But ballet director Mario Radachovsky is promoting Slovak cultural heritage, and that means a role for Warhol. Emily White spoke to Mario Radachovsky about his latest project.
Everybody knows who was Warhol, and not so many people know he had Slovakian background. And of course, he was born in the United States. I mean, that's one of the best artists of this country, even if we not necessary, but these genes produced. Most known Slovakian, in a sense, even if he was American. We don't take care of it.
Mario Radachovsky is taking care of Slovak culture. He became the ballet director of the Slovak National Theatre, or the Slovenské národné divadlo, last fall. He is creating his first major choreography based on the life of Andy Warhol, the father of pop art. The show, simply titled Warhol, will be an explosion of colors.
This is second naga. This is, I call this section Lenin. He used those tables of the stage. He's like, you know, on these speech boxes. Lenin, like 3 meters by 5 meters, is behind him, and then also Mao and all those communistic leaders. I'm going back because in the world when he was living, which was free world and still, so to speak, it's free world, here in Czechoslovakia or in Slovakia, whatever, was communism. The dominance of the one color and one opinion, and he's dictator in the beginning, but he's wearing the suit of Superman. Craziness, like complete craziness, what you will see.
The sets are designed by Cirque du Soleil architect Richard Dulude. Oh, and don't forget the dancing paparazzis taking photos of the public.
The audience, they will be like, what's happening? You know, like a normal show is, I come, I clap, and I go. No. And even if they will come by the way out, they will still irritate them certain way, or please them, or photograph them, or interview them, or asking them for their opinions.
When is the show opening?
The premiere is 20th of April 2007, 1 week after the opening of our new, brand new theater. So, no pressure.
Mario Radačovský left the Slovak National Theatre 15 years ago and began a successful international career. He performed around the world with the Netherlands Dance Theatre and later on with Les Grands Ballets Canadiens of Montreal. How does he feel about his shift from dancing to directing?
To be honest with you, I never thought like I would do this. Never, ever. If 5 years ago somebody asked me, I was like, why? Never. I was so afraid to be one of the bad ones. But maybe I am, I don't know.
Slovakia produces many great dancers, but many of them leave the country for more lucrative or creative opportunities. The Slovak Ballet Company performs the great classics like Swan Lake or The Nutcracker, but rarely ventures in the unknown territories of modern dancing. Perhaps it has to do with the nation's outlook. Why fix it if it ain't broken? For the ballet director, however, that means stagnation. He wants to push the National Ballet Company to higher levels.
How much we Slovakians, why we are not more maybe sensitive to what who came from here or who has connection to this? I think it's pity, because it's part of our heritage. Because there are such a little countries who, you know, like who's going to listen what they have to say. We are not sensitive enough for those things. But maybe later on we will grow into it. We are like little babies now. Baby nations.
The baby nation might take some first steps towards its own cultural identity with Radačovský's new choreography. Warhol will premiere on the 20th of April 2007 at the new Slovak National Theatre. Emily White, Radio Slovakia International.
Thanks, Emily. And if you'd like to hear any of these stories again or find out more about the Insight Central Europe team, check out our website. It's www.incentraleurope.com. And that's it for another Insight Central Europe. It's a co-production by Polish Radio External Service, Radio Budapest, Radio Slovakia International, Radio Prague and Radio Slovenia International. I'm Kerry Skyring. Join me and the rest of the team next week. Thank you.